All right, well, we're there in Exodus chapter number 9. I want to bring your attention down. Exodus chapter number 7. I want to bring your attention to verse number 9. Exodus chapter number 7. If you look at verse number 9 there, the Bible says this, and it shall become small. Good night. I'm in the wrong chapter. Exodus chapter number 7 and verse number 9. Is that what I said? Exodus chapter 7 and verse 9. I'm in chapter 9 and verse 7. I guess I'm dyslexic or something. But Exodus chapter 7 and verse 9. Notice what it says. When Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, show a miracle for you, then thou shalt say unto Aaron, take thy rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. Now, you know the story. Moses is going down into Egypt. And before he begins to do the 10 plagues, he shows a sign. He gives a miracle to Pharaoh. And he basically, they cast down the rod. It turns into a serpent. Look at verse number 10. And Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh. And they did so as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servant. And it became a serpent. Now that's exactly what God had told them would happen. This was a miracle that God performed where they took a wooden staff, and they threw it down, and it became a serpent. But I want you to notice what happens in verse number 11. Then Pharaoh called the wise men, and I want you to make note of this phrase, the sorcerers. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers. Now, the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments. Meaning they did the same thing that Moses did, for they cast down, verse 12, every man his rod, and they became serpents, but Aaron's rod swallowed up their rod. So Aaron performs this miracle where he takes a rod, he casts it down, and it becomes a serpent. God miraculously turns this piece of wooden staff into a serpent. But then the sorcerers and the magicians, they do in like manner, and they, with their enchantments, they cast down rods, and they become serpents. Now, notice God shows his superiority in verse 12 because he says that Aaron's rod swallowed up their rod. So they all turned rods into serpents, but Aaron's serpent ended up eating up the serpents of the magicians and the sorcerers. And this morning I want to preach to you on the subject of the occult. And this week, this Saturday, coming up October 31st, our nation will be celebrating Halloween. And Halloween is not a subject I preach about every year, but I do try to preach about it like every other year in regards to what the Bible teaches about Halloween or what the Bible teaches about these things. And as you may know, the big theme of Halloween is this idea of the occult. And I want to just teach you what the Bible says about the occult. Now, you may not be familiar with that word occult. The word occult literally means that which is hidden or that which is cut off from view. That's what the word means. But it's kind of transformed into basically anything that involves magic or witchcraft or sorcery or anything that's paranormal would be kind of put under this idea of the occult. And I want to teach you what the Bible says about this. And so when I refer to the occult, that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about witchcraft and sorcery, enchantments, wizards, and that type of thing. And I just want to give you 3 points this morning on the subject of the occult. For those of you who like to take notes, point number one, according to the Bible, the occult is real. According to the Bible, the occult is real. What's interesting is that the Bible documents sorcery as an actual practice or an actual event. We saw there in Exodus chapter 7 that Moses, this is not a parable or some sort of a allegory in scripture. Moses was a man who literally went down to Egypt to bring down the children of Israel, and he performed these miracles. But the Bible says that there were magicians and wise men and sorcerers that in like manner did the exact same thing, not through the power of God, but through their enchantments. Let me give you another example. You're there in Exodus chapter 7. Look down at verse number 19. If you remember, the first plague that Moses performed was that of turning water into blood. Exodus chapter 7. Look at verse 19. And the Lord spake unto Moses, say unto Aaron, take thy rod and stretch out thine hand upon the waters of Egypt, upon their streams, upon their rivers, and upon their ponds, and upon all their pools of water, that they may become blood. and that there may be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in vessels of wood and in vessels of stone. Look at verse 20. And Moses and Aaron did so as the Lord commanded, and he lifted up the rod and smote the waters that were in the river in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of the servants, and in all the waters that were in the rivers were turned to blood. So they turned the water into blood, and the fish that were in the river died, and their river stank, and the Egyptians could not drink of the water of the river. There was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. But notice verse 22. And the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened, neither did he hearken unto them as the Lord had said. So here we see Moses performs that first plague where he turns the water into blood. But then notice in verse 22, the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments. They took blood and water and they turned it into blood as well. Go to chapter number 8. Look at verse number 6. In chapter 8, you have the second plague of the frogs. Exodus chapter 8, look at verse 6. Exodus chapter 8 and verse number 6. The Bible says, and Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. But notice verse 7. And the magicians did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs upon the land of Egypt. So Aaron was able to bring frogs out of the water, and that was a huge miracle that God performed, and the whole land was filled with frogs. But then the magicians did the exact same thing. They were able to take water and bring frogs out of the water with their enchantments. And notice, the Bible's not telling us that they're playing tricks. The Bible's not telling us that they're sleight of hand. The Bible's not telling us that they're making it look like something and it's an illusion. The Bible is telling us they turned water into blood, just like Moses did. They turned a staff into a serpent, just like Moses did, or and Aaron did. They were able to bring frogs out of the water in the same way that Moses and Aaron did. Now notice, there is limitations to these magicians. Look down at verse number 16, Exodus chapter 8, in verse 16. In verse 16, you got the third plague of the lice. Look at verse 16. And the Lord said unto Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch out thy rod and smite the dust of the land, that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And they did so, for Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and smote the dust of the earth, and it became lice in man and in beast, and all the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. Notice verse 18, and the magicians did so with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not. So there was a limit. They tried to do it again. They tried to copy God again, but they could not. So there was lice upon man and upon the beast. And the magician said unto Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened that he hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. So the magician said, you know, they said, this is unique to God. We can't copy this. Because the magicians had power. They had enchantments. They had the ability to do these things, but they couldn't do everything that God did. And they said, this is the finger of God. And I think probably the idea there is that just like every one of our fingers has a unique print to it, they were saying, this is uniquely God's. This is the finger of God. We cannot copy this. And of course, God eventually, it mocks these magicians. If you go to chapter 9 and you look at verse number 8, we'll skip to the sixth plague, the plague of the boils. If you remember, the Lord said, Exodus chapter 9, verse 8, and the Lord said unto Moses and unto Aaron, take you handful of ashes of the furnace, and let Moses sprinkle it toward the heaven in the sight of Pharaoh, and it shall become small dust in all the land of Egypt, and shall be a boil breaking forth with blains upon man and upon beast and throughout all the land of Egypt. And they took ashes of the furnace and stood before Pharaoh, and Moses sprinkled it up toward heaven, and it became a boil breaking forth with blains upon man and upon beast. Notice how God mocks at these men, verse 11. And the magicians, not only could they not copy it, the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils. They got the boils themselves. For the boils was upon the magicians and upon all the Egyptians. So here's what I want you to understand. And the point that I'm trying to make is this. Go to Exodus chapter 22. You're there in Exodus 9. Flip over a few pages to Exodus 22. The point is this. Witchcraft and sorcery and enchantment is something that the Bible documents as being real. In fact, not only does God talk about it being real, but God takes it very seriously. In Exodus 22, in verse number 18, we have part of the law that God has given the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt. And notice one of the things he told them to do in verse number 18. Exodus 22 and verse number 18, the Bible says this, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. God says, if there is a witch among you, you are to put them to death. He says, you put the death penalty on a witch or on witchcraft. Now listen, does God think that witches are just a myth? Or a fairy tale, or a story. God takes the idea of a witch or a wizard or a sorcerer very seriously, to the point where in his law to God's people, he said, if there's a witch, if you find out someone's a witch, you are to put them to death. Do not suffer a witch to live. He says he put the death penalty on them. Now, here's what you got to understand. Our society has attempted to make the occult, things like sorcery and enchantments and wizards, it's attempted to make it normal. It's attempted to make it fun. It's attempted to make it accepted. And the way it does it is by making it seem as though it's just a story. It's a myth. It's not real. It's make-believe. It's a fairy tale. But our society is just bombarding us as people, and especially our children, with this idea of just turning things like witchcraft into something that's normal and to something that's accepted. Think about the books that are out there. Nearly every bookstore has a major section on the occult. One of the most popular children's books, which is also read by many adults, is Harry Potter. I remember when I was growing up, Harry Potter was below me, but it was really popular at that time. And I remember seeing on news reports that when a new Harry Potter book would come out, there'd be lines and lines and lines of people waiting. And it wasn't just children, it was adults that were reading these things. And what have things like Harry Potter done? It has desensitized children to witchcraft. It's made it seem like it's cool or it's popular or it's fun. Think about magazines and tabloids. The National Enquirer, which is sold at every grocery checkout lane, probably in America, promotes things like psychics and all kinds of occult practices. There are games. Toys or and game sections in stores often sell occult games such as the Ouija board and Dungeons and Dragons and similar fantasy games. And even more popular than that are the computer games, which involve things like witches and sorcerers and demons and occult powers, where people will role play and pretend as if they're one of these creatures, you know? And what is this doing? It's causing people to think, oh, this is just normal. It's make-believe, or even it's cool. Think about television and movies. Many children's cartoons and popular movies now feature occult powers with witches and sorcerers and demons, things like Harry Potter, things like Lord of the Rings, things like, you know, older movies like The Exorcist or The Sixth Sense, The Blair Witch Project, Friday the 13th. You know, if you think about The X-Files, you think about Nightmare on Elm Street, you think about The Walking Dead or Twilight and these type of movies, what are they doing? They're just making it so that children think it's cool and popular. But even as adults, we think, oh, it's just movies, it's just books, it's just fairy tales, it's not real. Music today, many popular recording artists are personally involved in sorcery, witchcraft, and Satanism. Popular songs often involve the aspect of the occult, and album covers will have, you know, these type of satanic symbols on them, especially when you get into like that heavy metal type stuff. They love that type of thing. Education, many colleges and universities teach courses discussing the occult. And even high school and grade school texts contain references to witchcraft and the occult. The New Age movement, which is huge right now, consists largely of people who are involved in pagan and cult-like religions. And of course, you've got Halloween, which is an entire holiday devoted to promoting the idea of the occult and witchcraft and sorcery and things of that nature. The quote in the bulletin this morning was this: the best trick the devil ever pulled was to make the world believe he was make-believe. And, you know, I was talking to my wife about this. My wife grew up a Catholic as a child, but later on, as a teenager, she graduated early from high school because she's a smart girl. I'm not sure why she married me, but she's smart. And she went to college early. She was, I think, 16 when she started college, or 17, around there. And she got indoctrinated, and they kind of made her for a time in her life. She was an atheist. And I was talking to her about this, and she said one of the things, you know, that, because she didn't grow up in a Christian home that preached the Bible, you know, went to church that preached the Bible at all. And, you know, one of the things in her mind was that, you know, it's just, you know, Satan's not real. You know, you see these movies, you know. I remember when I was growing up, you know, there was all these Adam Sandler movies where they'd make fun of the devil, and it was all the, you know, these jokes about Satan and these jokes of the devil made me do it and all these type of things. But what it does, it makes people think, oh, that's not real. It's just fake. You know, it's just books. It's just magazines. It's just movies. It's fiction. It's not real. But you got to understand something. In the Bible, magicians and enchantments and witches and witchcraft and sorcery is real. We got to get away from this idea that like Satan doesn't exist and there's no such thing as those type of things. Because you've got to understand that the agenda is to make the occult normal, to make it accepted, to make it popular. And as we get closer and closer to the end times, it'll become more and more popular. Go with me to the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter number 8. In your Old Testament, towards the end of the Old Testament there, keep your finger there in Exodus because we're going to come back to it. But go to Daniel chapter number 8. Daniel chapter number 8 in your towards the end of the Old Testament, you got Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel. Daniel chapter number 8. And look at verse number 24. Daniel chapter number 8 and verse 24. Now in Daniel chapter 8, you've got a prophecy of the coming Antichrist. And the Bible says here in Daniel chapter 8 and verse 24, it says this, and his power, talking about the beast, the Antichrist, the man, and his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. Now, the book of Revelation tells us that the one who gives him the power is the dragon, that serpent, you know, Satan, the devil, is the one that gives the Antichrist power and promotes him. And he says, and his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power, because we know that's Satan's power. And he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people, and through his policy, and I want you to make note of this in verse 25, it says, and through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper. See that word craft there? Now, you know, we can't be 100% sure what these words mean or what, you know, Daniel thought this word meant. You know, I think it's interesting that today we call it witchcraft. But that word craft there, if you look up the same way that Hebrew word is translated other places in our Bible, that word craft, that's the only time it's translated craft in our King James Bible. Every other time it's translated subtlety or feign or deceit or deceitful or deceitfully, which is interesting because that's what the word occult means. It means hidden. It means taken, you know, not in the view. And I believe, and you know, obviously we could be, we see through a glass darkly, the Bible says, but I believe that as we get closer and closer to the reign of the Antichrist, that he will cause the craft to prosper, that sorcery and witchcraft. Because think about it. He gets his power from Satan. And he's going to bring this thing and, to allow, you know, witchcraft to be prosperous and to be popular and to be open. And we're already headed down that road with every show. You know, when I was a kid, it was Sabrina the Teenage Witch. You know, when you guys were kids, it was that other show. I don't remember what it's called. The one with the lady that did her nose or whatever, you know. What was her name? Was her name Sabrina? Bewitched, yeah. You know, when you guys were kids, it was Bewitched. When I was a kid, it was Sabrina the Teenage Witch, you know. When, you know, and it's just this idea, and it's always been. And it's just the media is desensitizing us. The media and the culture today is just caught, you know, the rock stars make it popular. And it's this idea that it's normal, it's accepted, and either people think it's cool or they think it's silly. And both of those are exactly where Satan wants us to be. Because he wants us to think that it's not real. It's fake. It's make-believe. It's just fun. So point number one this morning, according to the Bible, the occult is real. Point number two, according to the Bible, the occult is satanic. You can go back to the book of Exodus and go past Exodus into the book of Leviticus. I want you to notice Leviticus chapter number 19. Leviticus chapter 19. The first problem is this, and especially when you preach a sermon like this, people kind of roll their eyes and say, are you serious? You're going to preach about this? Don't you know that's silly? Don't you know that's make-believe? Don't you know that's real? But look, we saw in Exodus that there was real magicians with real enchantments who did real, you know, magic and witchcraft, and God just documents it. He just tells us this is what happened. We saw there that God made a law against witchcraft. Look at Leviticus number 19. And we can't even look at all the passages. I printed out every passage that had something to do with it, and it was so much, I couldn't even read through them. There's so many references to them in the Bible. So I'm just going to give you some highlights. But go to Leviticus chapter number 19. Look at verse number 31. Leviticus 19, you're there in Exodus. You just go one book over. Leviticus chapter number 19, and look at verse number 31. The Bible says this, regard not them which have familiar spirits. Now, a familiar spirit is referring to like a devil or a demon, okay? It's talking about someone who's possessed. And notice what it says. Regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. So notice how God puts these two together. He says, don't, you know, regard, don't listen to, don't pay attention to people who are possessed, people who have a familiar spirit. And then he says, and don't go after wizards. And again, is a wizard, you know, you say, well, wizard, that's just make-believe. But here God is talking about these as the same. And notice, there's a connection there. You find this connection all throughout the Bible. Go to Leviticus chapter number 20. Leviticus chapter number 20. Look at verse number 6. Leviticus chapter 20. You're there in 19, just one page over. Leviticus chapter 20, look at verse 6. And the soul that turneth after such, notice, as have familiar spirits and after wizards, to go a-whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people. So it's not like God is for these people. He's against them. He says, don't go after them. Those that have, notice the connection, familiar spirits and a wizard. Go to Deuteronomy chapter number 18. You're there in Leviticus. You go past the book of Numbers into the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter number 18. Deuteronomy chapter number 18. Look at verse number 9. Deuteronomy chapter number 18. And verse number 9, Deuteronomy 18 and verse 9, the Bible says this. Deuteronomy 18, 9, notice what the Bible says. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. Notice, God doesn't call a lot of things abominations, but when he calls something an abomination, you may want to just perk up and listen, because it's a big deal. And he says, don't do after the abominations of those nations. Look at verse 10. There shall not be found among you anyone, notice, that maketh the son or his daughter to pass through the fire, talking about human sacrifice, notice the connections, or that useth divination, or an observer of times. You know, what's an observer of times? That's your horoscope. That's where you're gazing up at the stars and trying to figure out, you know, how your things are going to go. Hey, listen to me. No Christian ought to read a horoscope. It's wicked. It's part of the occult. And he says, or an absorber of times, or an enchanter, or a witch. Look at verse 11. Or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits. You see that? See, all these things are, you say, well, I didn't know horoscopes were connected to demons, but here God is connecting all of them together. He's given it every name, you know, divination, observer of times, enchanter, a witch, a charmer, a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. You may say, well, what's a necromancer? A necromancer, someone who would communicate with the dead. You know, that's someone who's trying to communicate with someone that's already gone on. Oprah Winfrey is well known for in her acting. You know, she will often play the role of a historical figure, and she'll go to sorcerers and to witches in order to bring back the spirit of these people and to talk to them. And to she literally asks these people to possess her so that she can play these roles. And you know, people think, oh, that's silly. Then why, you know, but the Bible mentions it, and we've got people doing it. You know, communicating with the dead. And by the way, that's exactly what the Catholic Church does. When they ask you to pray to Saint so-and-so, wasn't Saint so-and-so just a person that died? You know, they ask you to pray to Mary. Wasn't Mary just a person who died? It's not our place to communicate with people that have gone on before. The Bible says, for there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And we have to communicate with Jesus Christ. But when people want to communicate with the dead, when they want to communicate with people that were alive and have gone on, God says he's against it. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord, verse 12. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. For these nations which thou shalt possess hearkened unto observer of times and unto diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee so to do. He said, don't go to your horoscope. Don't go to the palm reader. Don't go to the fortune teller. Don't listen to these things. Don't go to witches and witchcraft. Don't. He says, stay away from these things. Go to 2 Chronicles chapter number 33. You're there in Deuteronomy. You go past the book of Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1st, 2nd Samuel, 1st, 2nd Kings, 1st, 2nd Chronicles. You can find those 1st and 2nd books. The last one, 2nd Chronicles chapter 33. Notice verse number 6. 2nd Chronicles 33. And verse number 6, notice what the Bible says. 2 Chronicles 33 and verse 6, the Bible says this, and he, now the he there is referring to Manasseh. And I preached a sermon about Manasseh not too long ago about how wicked he was and from the book of Isaiah. But notice it says, and he caused his children to pass through the fire. Again, human sacrifice. In the valley of the son of Hinnom. Also, he observed times, that's the horoscope, and used enchantments, and used witchcraft, and dealt with a familiar spirit, and with wizards. He wrought much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. God was mad with Manasseh. God was upset. Why? Because he delved into this occult type world. And you say, well, this is all Old Testament. Well, let's look at the New Testament. Go to the book of Acts, Acts chapter number 16. Acts chapter number 16. Notice verse number 16. Acts chapter number 16, and we're probably going to stay in the New Testament for the rest of the sermon. Go to Acts chapter number 16, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. When you get to Acts, put a bulletin or a ribbon or something there, because we're going to leave Acts and then we're going to come back to it. Acts chapter number 16, and look at verse number 16. Acts chapter number 16, and look at verse number 16. Notice what the Bible says. And it came to pass, as he went to prayer, a certain damsel, notice, possessed with a spirit of divination. That's the same familiar spirit from the Old Testament. A certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her master much gain by soothsaying. The word soothsaying means fortune telling. She was a fortune teller, and how could she do those things? Because she was possessed with a spirit of divination, and she made her master much gain. She brought him a lot of money by soothsaying. Verse 17, the same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And that's the devils, they know who Jesus is, you know, and they know where the truth is. Look at verse 18. And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit. He's not talking to the woman, he's talking to the damsel. He's talking to the Spirit. I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. See, here was a fortune teller. And the Bible tells us she was possessed with a spirit of divination. She was demon-possessed. And again, this is your palm reading. This is your witchcraft. This is your voodoo. Today, the occult hides its demonic influence. See, if you watch or listen to, you know, these interviews where they'll do with these, you know, people that came out of this occult, you know, and people who used to be into sorcery and witchcraft and all this stuff, they'll say that when they get led into it, they're a lot of them don't even believe in the Bible. They don't believe in God. They don't believe Satan's real. They actually believe they're worshiping nature. And they think, you know, oh, we're just going out in the woods and we're just wearing these weird clothes and we're just doing these little dances and we're taking all these herbs and we're just worshiping nature and they just think they're doing magic, but they don't think it's associated to Satan. But they'll say themselves, the further they go into it, the more, you know, they start off just kind of dabbling in it, but the more serious it becomes and the more time they spend, eventually they will be told, you know, that the god of the magic and the god of sorcery is Satan. And it always comes back to this. See, you got to understand. See, what Harry Potter didn't tell you is that he's a Satan worshiper. What Sabrina the Teenage Witch didn't tell us is that she worships Satan, Lucifer. But you got to understand, in the Bible, there is a connection between Satan and the demons and the demonic world and witchcraft and sorcery. It's all connected. It's where they get their power from. Today, the occult hides its demonic influence. And the way they recruit people, there's two major ways they recruit people. Go to the book of Ephesians with me. You're there in Acts. Go past Romans, past 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, and the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5, and look at verse number 18. If you talk to the, and by the way, the biggest group of people they're looking for is teenagers that are not social, teenagers that maybe don't have a dad at home or don't have a good relationship with their mother. The best thing you could do to keep your kids away from this kind of stuff is just to be a good mom and a good dad. Just to be involved in the lives of your children. But the biggest thing they'll do to attract, you know, people into the occult is they'll use drugs and they'll use perversion. Now, here's what's interesting. The book of Ephesians equates this idea of drugs and the spirit world or spirits. Notice Ephesians chapter 5. Now, this is a negative and a positive, but notice what the Bible says. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. The Bible says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, the Spirit there is the Holy Spirit of God. But here, notice what the Bible says. He says, don't be drunk. Don't be, you know, under the influence of a substance. And he says, and instead, be filled with the Spirit. And there's a connection between having the Holy Spirit of God, you know, and not having the Holy Spirit of God, and then being under the influence of drugs and alcohol. And you got to understand, when you get down to the real occult, to the real thing, you will find that these people are just using drugs. And I'm here to tell you, drugs and alcohol and anything that puts you under the influence of not your own body is just a gateway. It is a door to demonic, you know, to being possessed with the devil and to into witchcraft and things of that nature. And you'll find it all throughout. I mean, go to the voodooists. What are they doing? Getting high off drugs and doing their voodoo? Go to the Native Americans. You say, well, were they into witchcraft? They were calling all these spirits of nature, but guess what? It wasn't the spirit of nature. It was a spirit of Satan. It was the devils, you know, that they were calling out. And what were they doing? Smoking peyote, doing drugs. Well, you know, even in our in the cartoons that we grew up watching, what do you always see? You see these witches, right? And they're around a cauldron, right? And they're making all these, you know, different potions and these spells and these concoctions, you know. And they're putting Eye of Newt and they're putting all these different things, you know, whatever. And you know, but why did they make a joke out of that? Why did they? Because real witches would really be making all these weird things. But guess what they were actually making? Acid. You know, I mean, I don't know. They were making like drugs. You know, they were getting high. They're making all these things to like get high. Because here's the thing. When you get under the influence of alcohol or under the influence of drugs, you open the door, because what are you doing? You're allowing something else to control your body. And you open that gateway, and these people get possessed with devils, possessed with demons. And that's the biggest way they attract teenagers into this occult. They'll offer them free drugs, free heroin, free pod, you know, free all these things. And they start getting them involved in these things. How's the other way that they do it? It's through perversion. I mean, they'll go to these groups and they'll say anything goes. And listen to me. If you look into these occult type things, they're all a bunch of pedophiles. They're all a bunch of sodomites. They're all a bunch of lesbians. Because think about the, you know, what is the telltale sign of someone who's been rejected of God? Is that they're a pervert. Go to Romans chapter 1. Let's look at it together. Romans chapter 1. I know you're familiar with it, but we live in America in 2015. We can't harp on this enough. Romans chapter 1. Look at verse number 23. Romans chapter 1, verse 23. Notice what the Bible says. Romans 1, 23. And change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up. God gave them up. God's done with them. He's not reaching out to them. He's gave up on them. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness, to the lust of their own heart, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator. That's what these people are doing. They're going out into the wilderness. They say, we're just worshiping nature. And that's what Halloween's about. The fact that the seasons are changing and the fact that, you know, we're going into this time of death, you know, is what they would call it, because winter's coming and plants are dying and all this stuff. And they worship death. That's why we had there in the bulletin that verse. Where is my bulletin? From Proverbs, where wisdom is personified and says, but he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. And that's what they're worshiping, is death, as they're going into this winter season, you know. And that's what All Hallows Eve is about and all these things. But listen, they're worshiping nature. And is that not what God said? Verse 25. Worshipped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Verse 26, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. And that's what God calls it, vile, disgusting. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Listen to me. Sodomy is unnatural. It is not normal for a woman to lay with another woman. Look at verse 26. For this cause God gave them, verse 27. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meat. You know, and God has given diseases to these people. He's put AIDS on these people. He gave them the recompense of their error, which was meat. Because it's not, and I want you to notice, it's not natural for a man to be with another man. It's not natural for a woman to be with another woman. God, and that's why God says he gave them up. Verse 28, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. And today people will say, well, you can't can't preach like this, and how are you going to grow church, and how are you going to gather a crowd? Listen to me. We don't want people here that think we should have sodomites in our church. They're not welcomed here. It's unnatural. You got to reject God. You got to reject the God of the Bible to go down that road. And today we live in a society where people will look at me and say, you're preaching about witchcraft. You're preaching against sodomites. You're just in fairy tale town, you know, and I'm talking about the one in Sacramento. You know, you're just in, you know, you're just crazy. But listen to me. The Bible says it's so, and the Bible doesn't change. And we've been brainwashed into accepting, you know, and listen to me. There was a time in our country where these sodomites were so ashamed and so embarrassed of their lifestyle that they were in the closet. They were in hiding. But the media, you know, it started with those Will and Grace. And you started watching that show. And the sodomite was funny. And he was flamboyant. And all of a sudden, you think they're nice. And you think they're cool. And first it was a joke. Then it was normal. Now it's accepted. And I'm here to tell you, 50 years from now, pedophilia will be accepted. They'll start making fun of it. And people will be like, what? You can't make fun of that. But they'll do it enough, and they'll do it enough, and they'll do it enough. Because it's unnatural. Bestiality is unnatural. It's against nature. And that's how they bring these people into the occult. They'll say anything goes. Do whatever you want. Be with whoever you want. Take any child you want. Take, you know, same sex and all these type of things. And they'll bring them in through drugs. They'll bring them in through perversion. Go back to the book of Acts. You got to understand, the occult is at war with Christianity. The occult is at war with Christianity. Acts chapter 13, look at verse number 6. Acts chapter 13 and verse 6. And when they had gone through the isle, Acts chapter 13 and verse 6. And when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain, notice, sorcerer. They found Harry Potter. They found that, I don't know, I never watched Harry Potter or read any books. They found that guy with the white beard. But notice what it says. They found a sorcerer. Notice what it says. A false prophet. Do you see that? You know that if you hear the interviews, if you talk to people that came on, they will say that witches and sorcerers who are into the occult, they will go to Bible college, and they will get a Bible college degree. And they will act like they're Christians, and they'll go pastor churches, and they'll do, and why? To be evil. They're false prophets. How do you think Benny Hinn gets up there and does all these miracles? I mean, you think it's fake? I mean, I'm sure some of it is, but some of that stuff's not fake, my friend. Some of it, these people do have powers. When they're speaking in tongues, there really is another spirit speaking, but it's not the Holy Spirit. Amen. And they're able to do these powers, they're able to do these things, they're able to touch people and throw them 3 feet. But listen to me, don't be, you know, amazed at the fact that there could be a false prophet who's a sorcerer, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, look at verse 7, which was with the deputy of the count of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. So here you got a man who's asking for Paul and Barnabas. He wants to hear the word of God, but near his group of influence, there's a sorcerer who's a false prophet. Notice what he does, verse 8. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, notice, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. He just got in the way. He just caused problems. He did not want this guy to get saved. And notice verse 9. Then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, oh, full of subtlety, occult, right, craft, hidden, secret, and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou, notice what he says, enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right way of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. And the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Go to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter number 6. We were just there. But go to Ephesians chapter number 6. Look at verse number 12. You got to understand this. There is a war against the occult. There is a war against Satan. They want to withstand. They want to fight against. And these people will say that they'll send preachers into churches that are really witches just to be a false prophet. They'll send people into churches. I heard of a man who for 3 years went to a Baptist church. He pretended like he got saved, got baptized, you know, got connected. And he says himself, the entire time, all All he was doing was criticizing the pastor. All he was doing was causing divisions. All he was doing was secretly offending people. They finally just got fed up with him and threw him out of the church. But, you know, all he was doing was trying to cause problems, trying to go under the radar, not do enough to get called out, you know, not do anything terrible, but just cause all sorts of problems to hinder the church. We may have some of these witches running around here. I mean, people who just always have to find something to argue about and complain about and criticize about and fight about and get people upset about and get people all riled about. I mean, there is an agenda. And some of you are thinking, oh, that's just fake. Oh, that's not real. But the Bible says it's real. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6, look at verse 12. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. See, I'm not, those of you that like to cause problems, I'm not mad at you. I just want to cast the devil out of you. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. See, there is a fight. There is a war. The occult is at war with real Christianity. They want to withstand against it. So what do we learn this morning? Number one, according to the Bible, the occult is real. And according to the Bible, the occult is satanic. Let's look at two more passages. We'll be done. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. You're there in Ephesians. I think you're in Ephesians. Just go back towards 1 Corinthians, or if you're still in Acts, go ahead towards 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, look at verse number 19. So the Bible teaches that the occult is real. It's not fake. Now, some of it out there is fake. We get that. But there really are witches out there. There really are sorcerers out there. There really are wizards out there. There really are people who do enchantments and do magic. Some of that stuff is real. The Bible tells us so. And not only that, but it is also satanic. Those people that are actually doing it are possessed with the devil. They have a familiar spirit. They have a spirit of divination. Number three, according to the Bible, the occult should be avoided. According to the Bible, the occult should be avoided. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, look at verse number 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. In verse 19, notice what the Bible says. What say I then? That the idol is anything? Now, Paul was dealing with this idea too. Because people were saying, the idol, there's nothing to it. It's just fake. Now, we know that the physical idol is just a thing. It's not, oh God, it has no power. But notice what he says. What say I then? That the idol is anything? Or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the thing which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils. And not to God, and I would not that you would have fellowship with devils. He said, I don't want you to fellowship with devils. I don't want you to fellowship with the idols of the devil. Verse 21, ye cannot drink of the cup of the Lord and of the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partaker of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. He said, you can't fellowship with God and with Satan. He says, you need to avoid satanic things. You need to avoid the occult. You need to avoid these things. 2 Corinthians, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, look at verse 14. You're there in 1 Corinthians, go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verse 14. Notice what the Bible says. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? That's a devil. Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, he says, because, look, if you are saved, if you are saved, the Bible says that God says that he will dwell in you. He will walk in you. He will be your God. You will be his people. Then he says this, wherefore? He says, because of that reason, because God indwells you, because you walk in the Spirit, because you have God inside of you, and he's your God, and you're his people. He says, wherefore? Come out from among them. See, people don't like the preaching on separation. They don't like, you know, they want us to preach on encouraging things. They want us to preach on grace. They want us to preach on love. And we need to preach those things, and that's great. But the Bible says that we are to be separate from the world. We are to be different from the world. He says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. You think God's okay with the garbage you watch on TV when you're promoting a bunch of witches? A bunch of sorcery? What if Harry Potter was real? What if you got to meet the real Harry Potter? And when you met him, you know, this little teenager who's a sorcerer, when you met him, you find out that he was just a drug addict, demon-possessed sodomite. Would you let your kids watch those films? What if you met Sabrina the Teenage Witch? And you just found out that, oh, the real Sabrina the Teenage Witch is just some, you know, drugged out, pedophile, lesbian, demon-possessed. Would you let your kids dress up like that? I mean, would you get on board with that? God says, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. See, God says, I will receive you as you are separated from the world. See, I believe Christians should not celebrate Halloween. You know why? Because it promotes everything that's anti-God. And I'm not one of these people who's against, you know, if you're here this morning and you're anti-Christmas and anti-Easter, do me a favor, don't talk to me after the service. I'm sick and tired of these people who are, Christmas is pagan. Listen to me. Here's the difference between Christmas and Halloween. I can celebrate Christmas without celebrating Satan. I can just honor Jesus Christ. I can honor on Easter the resurrection of Christ. On Thanksgiving, I can be thankful to God. But guess what? The entire event of Halloween is to celebrate darkness, which God says we ought not celebrate. It's to celebrate death, which the Bible says we ought not celebrate. It's to celebrate fear, which the Bible says we ought not celebrate. The entire theme of the day is anti-God. Amen. So we ought not celebrate it. You ought not be part of it. And by the way, let me just go ahead and say this. Don't walk up to our first-time guests next week and start telling them, you know, they're telling you, oh, yeah, we had a great Halloween. And you're like, it's so evil, it's so wicked. That's not your place. Let them learn it from the Bible through the Word of God. Let them learn it through the preaching. You don't need to go around correcting everybody and telling everybody, you know, who, you know, well, did you know that so-and-so is a 33rd degree Mason? Why does that matter? It doesn't matter. Keep your opinions to yourself. Nobody asked. And listen to me. They didn't come here to hear you preach. I mean, can I say that? You say, well, they don't like your preaching either. Yeah, but they didn't come to hear you. They didn't come to hear your theories and your ideas and you guys are running around telling people, well, this is what you need to do and this is what you need to do. You keep your mouth shut and you let the Word of God tell them what they need to do. And you let the Bible teach them. And you mind your own business. Because we're going to start marking the little witches around here. According to the Bible, the occult, we're going to have a Salem witch trial. No, I'm just kidding. According to the Bible, the occult is real. According to the Bible, the occult is satanic. According to the Bible, the cult needs to be avoided. You should not be a part of it. You should not have fellowship with it. And that's why, by the way, every year we have a harvest party here. Say, why? So you have to be home when those people show up. So you can do something fun with your kids. When you're telling your kids, oh, we're not going to celebrate all the way. You can come here and have jump houses and we'll have candy for them and all that stuff. And you can fellowship with God's people. The lights will be on. Nothing will be scary and everything will be honoring towards God. Amen. So we invite you to be here for our harvest party. And I want to challenge you to study these things out for your own. And look at them in the Bible and realize the Bible does not say this is a myth. It doesn't teach it as a fairy tale. It is very, very real. Let's bow our heads.